This morning's responsive reading by the congregation and the pastor was taken from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. So before I make my comments, you may want to pause and take the opportunity to read for yourself Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 9. I think the first four verses go all together. Notice, my son, if, verse 3, yea, if thou, verse 4, if thou seekest. Once again, the book of Proverbs, this portion, chapter 1 and where we're at now, opens up with the setting of a kingly father addressing a would-be kingly son. Solomon here is taking time to groom and to prepare his son, probably Rehoboam, since he did follow his son, his father Solomon, as the next king of Judah. Solomon here is preparing his boy to become that next king. He's giving him kingly wisdom that Solomon has acquired over time in order to be a good king, a just king, a king that would rule with equity, integrity, things of that nature. But notice, not every child is going to automatically follow their parents' worldview, because you have the word if. So there's a condition here in the first four verses placed not on the father, but on the son's willingness to receive instruction. My son, if thou will receive my words. So that's a condition. Okay? Children are not born angels. Okay? They are not born with a holy, Christ-centered, Christ-loving nature. They are born dead in sin. Matter of fact, they may be a cuddly baby for you to hold, kiss its cheeks, tickle its tummy to hear it laugh, but that child is no different than a venomous snake whose bite, when it gets older, can hurt and be painful, even deadly. Children do kill parents. And so here, beloved, Solomon here is reaching out to his boy. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Notice the pressure that's bearing upon the son. Children have a responsibility before God. And again, we're assuming in my illustration here that you have godly parents, or maybe a godly single parent, or maybe a child is being raised by godly grandparents, or a godly relative, or godly step-parents, whatever arrangement. In my illustration that I'm going to give to you in this exposition, we're looking at a godly, some type of godly adult influence, okay, bearing the pressure on this child. That's what you find here. This parent or this guardian is asking this child, please receive my words. Not only receive my words, but hide them within you. Verse 2, incline thine ear unto wisdom. This has the imagery of leaning forward, okay? Leaning into the instructions. Sometimes a very good speaker, as his voice or her voice rises and falls with inflection, there are times, beloved, that a good speaker will speak very softly on purpose to cause his audience to be drawn closer into every word that he or she says. And so that, to me, that's the image. Probably Solomon here is now lowering his voice, forcing the child to lean closer to his dad's lips, to hear what daddy is saying. so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. So notice, there's a hearing, and then there's an application. Okay? You have to hear it, and then you got to do something with it. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Beloved, notice, there's an urgency here on the part of the father to his child. If you cry after knowledge, if you liftest up your voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure. Notice the energy that the father is bearing upon the son's responsibility. And you got to admit how much of this pressure, how much of this intense parental influence really goes on in any house that professes to be Christian in modern day America. You kind of wonder by the behavior or the lack of behavior that is exhibited, not just amongst the pagans, but the children of Christian homes who attend church regularly. I've seen them over 40, 45, 50 years of being in different churches. Some of the worst brats come out of Christian homes. Now, that's all the pressure that's being put upon the kid. But then verses 5 turns it around and then tells the child what is going to be the end result. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Notice, you get all these ifs. Verse 1, verse 3, verse 4. If you do this, if you do this, if you seek her, if you cry after her, okay, if you hear and apply, then, and I can also add by inference, then and then only shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find a knowledge of God. So, verses 5 is the fruit. Verse 5 is the goal of this parent bearing pressure on his child. Verse 5 is the conclusion of the matter, provided the child takes heed to what he has been given in the first 4 verses. And then notice verse 6. The father tells his child, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Well, what has proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord that Jesus told us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord? So what are we talking about in verse 6? The scriptures. The inspired, preserved Word of God. And therefore today, not only do we have so many English translations that have perverted the text in English, neutered and castrated Jesus' divinity, make him into a liar and a sinner in some instances, removing such precious words as blood, okay, making salvation a process versus a one-time act or a one-time declaration on the part of God and justifying faith. We're not being saved in some process like Roman Catholicism teaches. Paul talks that since we are saved, ED, past tense, such and such will occur or ought to occur. So notice verses 6 tells us that this wisdom that this father is trying to instill in this son comes from only one source, and it's not the public school, and it's not the state. It's not even the church. It's the scriptures. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. So notice what God provides for his own. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So notice verse 7. He's describing the ones who will take heed. They are the righteous, and they walk uprightly. And then notice the security of such a one. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. So even total security can be found in the Old Testament scriptures. And again, it's not simply once saved, always saved, and then you can live any way you want to live, as some teach, and as some present a strong man today. No, no, my dear friends. Verse 8 is based on the first seven verses of chapter 2. Once saved, always saved is based on a foundation of what? Fearing God, taking heed to his word, actually being one of the righteous, and actually being one of the upright. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Verse 9 goes with verse 5. Verse 5 is the end result. Verse 9 is the end result reworded. Then. So notice you have three ifs and two thens. And until the three Fs are in motion, there will never be the two thens implied. So may God choose to bless his word.